John chapter 20 this morning. John chapter 20. We have been looking at some questions that the resurrection of Jesus Christ raised. Now, Jesus is the only person to ever die, be biologically dead, come back to life, and never die again. Lazarus, of course, was dead for 4 days and came back to life, but he died again. And so surrounding this greatest event in the world, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there are some questions. We've been looking at some of those questions. First of all, we tried to answer the question, where was Jesus from Friday afternoon about 3 o'clock until Sunday morning? If you were with us, we're not going to replay these, but we looked at that. We also dealt with why did Jesus say to Mary, "Do not cling to me"? That was one of the questions. And also, I believe it's on the same Sunday, we dealt with what was Jesus' resurrection body like? Because, okay, we need to know that because that's what our body's going to be like. We're going to have a resurrected body. Then we looked at what was Jesus doing or what was happening when he breathed on the 10 apostles who were in a locked room in Jerusalem, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." What was going on there? We've dealt with all of these, okay? And this morning then, we come to a final question, which, to be honest with you, was the hardest question for me to get my mind around and to come to a place where I understand, I believe, what he was talking about. And he said to these 10, "If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now, what does that mean? Remember, as we study the Word, we first of all look at context, because nothing is out of context with the Word. It is fitly joined together. All of the Word agrees with all of the Word. Okay? Even though we may not think it does. All right? The problem is not with it not agreeing. The problem is with us not seeing how it agrees. And then so the context, and then application, to whom is the scripture addressed? Sometimes it's universal. It applies to everyone. Sometimes it's not. And so those two things are cornerstones that we need to remember. So if you forgive, Jesus said to these 10, Thomas is not there, okay, according to John's gospel. He is not there. He will be, and we'll find Thomas next week, as a matter of fact. He said to the 10, "If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." So what does this mean? Our last question, the final question, as we look at the questions surrounding the resurrection. We need to start also, when we run into a passage like this, and I'm just kind of walking you back over where I walked on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, okay, and Saturday, we start with one of these verses that, what? What do we know? That's where we start. What do we know? Well, first thing we know is that verse 23 follows verse 22, and verse 22 follows verse 21. Now, that may not take rocket science efforts, but it's an important deal. In verse 21, what happens? This is participatory, if you want to call it that. What happens in verse 21? Yeah. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Big deal. Jesus is sending the apostles. All right? And I said, okay, verse 22 follows verse 21. And in verse 22, Jesus said, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So they are being sent. Now they are being empowered. The Holy Spirit is the power that they need for the sending that they're going to experience. You with me? Now, then verse 23 fits with this in that they not only are being sent, they are empowered, but they must have authority. And in verse 23, he is granting them the authority. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. That's what's going on here. There's sending, calling, if you want to call it that. There's empowering, and there is granting the authority to do so. Now today, okay, although this is to them, this pattern that Jesus set forth applies to us today because we are still being sent on a daily basis, I believe. There would be macro calls, if you want to call it that, macro sending and micro. He may be sending you to a person at work or something like that, or he may be sending you to the mission field. All right, so he is still sending. He still empowers. And when you came to Christ Jesus, you were filled with the Holy Spirit. You were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you have all of the Holy Spirit you're going to get. It's not something that's parceled out. It's a he. It's a person. He came to live in you when you believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved. You are empowered. You are empowered. And then he has given you the authority to do the very same thing that the disciples are doing. But the empowering is not as it was for them. The authority that you have and that I have is the Word of God. And the preaching and receiving of the gospel is going to result in a person's sins being forgiven if they believe, or the forgiveness being withheld if they fail to believe. All right? So, the pattern he establishes in these verses applies to us today differently, but it still applies in principle. All right. Now, what else do we know? If these disciples, apostles, are going to be sent, they are going to be representing Jesus. That's what he's doing. Even as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. I'm going to be ascending to the Father, guys. 40 days, he's telling them. He's leaving. So when I leave, you are going to represent me. Now, in and of themselves, they do not have the ability, they do not have the authority, they do not have the power to represent Jesus Christ. And so that's what he's doing in these verses that we've just walked through. That's the reason that he has breathed on them, received the Holy Spirit. Now, they're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in about 50 days from now. This is Sunday evening, Resurrection Sunday evening, and in 50 days, Pentecost is going to come. And the disciples are breathed on here, there they are going to be endued with, baptized in. Don't get bummed about, well, that can't happen because this happened. Yeah, they both happened. All right? He can do what he wants to do. All right. So in representing the Son, they then have to have the authority that the Son has established. You remember the Old Testament sacrifice system? Not in total. We don't have that much time. You remember what, you know what I'm talking about? If Mick sinned, if he was a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob back in the day, and he sinned, what's going to happen to him? Yeah, he has no hope. Except if he offers a sacrifice. And the sacrifice is prescribed by the law. So if Mick takes that animal, usually, or whatever, and takes it to the temple, which was not a temple, but a tabernacle in all likelihood. It becomes a temple. And he takes that animal, and the priest cuts the throat of that animal, and the blood drains off on the altar. It pays for the sin that Mick has committed. Need a lot of goats, okay. And so he walks away forgiven until he sins again. Bring another goat, all right? And so there was this perpetual shedding of blood of goats and bulls and rams, and there's some grain offerings, that kind of thing. But there's all of these offerings that are having to be made. And then in case one slipped by, once a year the high priest took this scapegoat and laid on this scapegoat the sins of the nation and turned it out into the wilderness. And there's this great system. We're talking about something that is being played out for a bunch of people. Millions, perhaps. A few million. And so that system is terminalized. Is that a word? Okay. It is now. Okay. Is brought to an end when Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, the Lamb of God, came and lived a sinless life, and His blood was shed on Calvary for the sins of the world. All right? No more sacrifices. Save your goats. No more sacrifices. So Jesus then has taken the authority that had been with the law for the forgiving of sins, now is resting on Him and His sacrificial death on the cross. And so now the authority to forgive sin or not forgive sin is His. And He is granting the authority that He has to these 10 apostles, soon to be 11 when Thomas joins the group next week. All right? Thus, the forgiving of sins and not forgiving of sins does not apply to anyone in the way that Jesus dealt with it here, except these people in this room. Now, granted, there were other people in the room, probably. We're not told that there are, but, you know, I don't know that somebody was checking the door, and only they were already in there. And so there's a possibility that some of the women were there, and I don't, you know, okay. It's going to grow to about 120 in 50 days, all right? But right now, what's going on applies to the apostles. And we spent a lot of time establishing a few weeks ago what an apostle is. And so what he is saying is for these apostles. It's not for the other gathered people in the room. Even though there may have been others there. I don't know if there were or not, okay? And so this forgiving of sins and not forgiving of sins is their responsibility, but it will end with them, but the ability to have sins forgiven or not forgiven doesn't end. That's going to be ongoing after the apostles die. But this specific granting of authority is for these people. These 11 men. All right. For that to happen then, to rehash a little bit, they can't do it by themselves, and it's going to require empowerment that they don't have in themselves and authority. And Jesus gives them both through the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And He grants to them the authority that He now has, that's His possession, He grants it to them to do what He and only He could do. Because He came and fulfilled the law, remember. The law is no more. I mean, we can look at it and see what God's position on righteousness is. You know, the law will tell you that, okay? But to be bound to the law as they were before Jesus' death, He has fulfilled the law. Didn't set it aside, Okay? Didn't say forget the law. Okay? But we are no more bound to keep the law as they were. Are we at a place where everybody's with me? Anybody get off on the corner? All right, let's move on. Okay. Jesus is leaving. He's already told them. He said to Mary when her encounter there at the tomb, "Go tell my brothers that I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." And he's going to do so in 40 days from the Mount of Olives. And he's going to come back to that same place when he comes the second time, not in the air, but to the earth. That's where he's coming back to, the Mount of Olives, okay? And so, but he's leaving. So who's in charge when he leaves? Nobody's in authority. If Jesus leaves, because he is the authority, because he obeyed his Father's call to him to come and die. So who's in charge? Who's in authority when Jesus leaves? The apostles. That select group of men that he called one by one, that he spent 3 years preparing, those are the apostles that are going to be charged in that first early infancy of the kingdom. And the kingdom we know is his rule and reign over the lives of people. So they are empowered, breathed on by, and receive the Holy Spirit. 50 days they will be baptized, endued with power and authority. And so for this group of men, initially the Holy Spirit is the authority in them and through them. These are not just, you know, self-proclaimed monarchs who go around doing whatever they want to do. They're under the authority of the Holy Spirit, because he breathed on them, okay, and then gave them the authority concerning sin. Don't miss this. The apostles forgave sins and withheld forgiveness in the context of having received the Holy Spirit. They are empowered individuals. They represent Jesus. Just as an aside, who got up in the meeting in the upper room? Jesus said to them, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. He gave them that command. Okay? Who got up? Hang on, get my ear back here. All right. Works better that way. All right. Who got up in that meeting when they were just waiting? Peter, okay? And what do we know about Peter? He was an apostle. He had been breathed on, okay, and given authority. Now, it's possible that anybody in the room, I guess, could have got up, all right? But Peter got up. And we don't find anywhere in that, I think it's second chapter of Acts, first chapter, right there in those first chapter, okay? We don't find anybody that says, wait a minute, Peter, who put you in charge? Everybody recognized that Peter was an apostle. And so they conducted the business that they had. And as the apostles are in charge now, because Jesus has left, they must be able, in his name, to pronounce forgiveness and to threaten doom. In the early church, the church is born on the day of Pentecost. Got a lot of doctrine here this morning, okay? Don't get lost in this, all right? It'll take you back to where you need to go when you have the questions that we will have. The church is born at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came, just as Jesus said. Those gathered in that upper room, about 120, were endued with power by the Holy Spirit. And at that time, the church is born. We'll get there in just a minute, so hang on, okay? Now, the apostles have the authority to forgive sins and to withhold forgiveness. And they have the ability to threaten doom or forget. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They're a part of this first church. everybody was giving that which they had, and they brought it, and no one considered themselves having possession of anything. They brought what they had, and they distributed it according to the needs of the gathered body. And there was a bunch of people, 3,000 the first day, and then daily was being added those that were being saved. Some have estimated maybe 100,000 people were a part of that first church as it just erupted there in the days after Pentecost. So people just, if they had land, I think it was Barnabas had a piece of land and he sold it and brought it. Well, Ananias and Sapphira were two of those who had responded to the gospel. They're considered to be a part of the group. And they had a piece of land. And they sold the land. And they brought part of it. They didn't have to bring any of it. There was no command on anybody to give everything you got. This was a spontaneous thing. But when they came, Peter confronted them. And what did he say? Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? Now, how did he know? Because he has been breathed on and now endued with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't that Peter's still just a fisherman, but an empowered fisherman. And he knew because the Holy Spirit had told him, they lied to me. And you remember what happened as a result. Peter didn't kill him, okay? But both of them were carried out dead from that place. That's authority, folks. And they were given that authority. Now, it could have been John. It could have been Andrew. It could have been Bartholomew. It could have been any of the apostles. But we have the account of Peter. And then there's a guy over there, Simon the Magician. Heard of him? All right? Simon the Magician. He wanted that power that they who had the Holy Spirit had. And he's going to try to buy it. And you can read over there yourself, Peter took him on as well. He didn't have nice things to say to the guy. He wasn't being politically correct either. All right? And so, why did Peter have this authority? Because he had been given this authority. You see, they did not yet have the Scripture. They did not have the 66 books of the Bible. They have what we would call the Old Testament, okay? But they don't have the four Gospels. They don't have the book of Acts and Romans and Paul's letters and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. They didn't have that. So who is the Word in this early church? The apostles. And the book of Acts is about the apostles preparing and giving the followers, those who have believed, the foundation in the faith. Now, the word is going to be given. It is the anointed, inerrant word of God. It will be. We have it today, but they didn't have it. So the apostles are the source of truth. And they're the source of doctrine, etc. And so the apostles are preparing for the workings of the church because they're leaving. Everybody's leaving. You and me, we're leaving too, all right? All right. So, what happens when the apostles die? They're going to, all of them. With the passing of the apostles, authority as prepared by the apostles, as the church is prepared, is housed in the body of Christ, which is the church. And again, that's what's going on much in the book of Acts. Because you see, in 70 AD, this gathered body, the church, is only in Jerusalem until 70 AD. And then in 70 AD, when the Romans come, and they are going to completely desecrate, destroy the city of Jerusalem. And the people who are living in Jerusalem, mostly Jews at that time, many of them are going to die, okay? They're going to be slaughtered by the Romans, and the rest of them are running for their lives. And so the church then is dispersed throughout the world. But taking with them are these foundational principles that the apostles have taught them in this first 30 years or so. Everybody still with me? All right, we're going somewhere, okay? We're going somewhere. So the church was directed and grown and nurtured and matured by the apostles. In 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed, and the church, the people, are dispersed throughout the world. We have then the church universal. There is a church universal, all followers of Jesus Christ. But we have also a local representation of the church. There was a church at Ephesus, remember? There was a church at Corinth. Galatia, there's a church at Wellspring. All right? So it is universal in scope, but it's represented by local individual bodies. That's important. So now, the church universals, but specifically the local application of the church, which is the local gathering, now has, through the preaching and believing of the gospel, the word of God, the authority to forgive sins and withhold forgiveness. Now, don't go to sleep right there. You'll wake up Catholic if you do. All right? I did not say the church, i.e. as in the Catholic Church. Today, Roman Catholicism has polluted everything we've been dealing with here. Because they assume that what was given to the apostles is now given to the leadership of the Catholic Church, the Pope, the Cardinals, the bishops, and priests. No! No! Jesus did not say, and by the way, when you finish with this, guys, hand it on down to these people. No. When those apostles died, they died. And they spent their lives preparing the Christians who are going to be dispersed throughout the world. And also, I don't want to mean just pick on the Catholics, these high potentate Protestant demagogues called pastors who rule over churches like they own the place. Don't walk with them in a thunderstorm. There is no authority in any individual now to forgive sins or withhold the forgiveness of sins. Only through the proclaiming of the word, anointed by the Holy Spirit, are sins forgiven. Or if the person fails to believe, the forgiveness is withheld. Does that make sense? I don't care if it makes sense or not. That's what it is. You know? All right. So the authority is only through the gospel, as empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit will direct the body with the principles of governance established. A good focused place to look would be in Ephesians, chapters 2 through chapter 4. There are other places, but that's a good focused place that you can write down and look at. So, with the passing of the apostles, with the dispersion of the Christians from Jerusalem, the formation of churches, local bodies, all right, out there, the churches are organized by the gifting of individual members within that local body. By whom? The Holy Spirit. All right? So this is all part of this thing that's leading from this place where Jesus said to the apostles, I call you, I'm sending you, receive the Holy Spirit, and if you forgive sins, they are forgiven if you withhold, okay? Now that has passed down to the churches, which are organized as taught, led by the Holy Spirit, taught to the people, this doctrine of church governance, if you want to call it that. And that is accomplished through the Holy Spirit gifting individual members within a body of believers for the work of the ministry, for the edifying and the building up of the body of Christ on a local basis. So every local representation of the church is going to have the functioning of the gifts given by the Holy Spirit to the various members of that body. Still with me? All right. So the Holy Spirit is in authority. But he is exercising that authority through the individual members of that body. And again, I do this a few times a year, okay? If you do not know what your spiritual gift is, we need you. We need you. We being the body, the local body of Wellspring. This is not a spectator sport. Did you have to pay to get in today? No. Okay? This is a body that is gathered for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. And there's a whole list of gifts, and it's not open-ended. Well, I think I want the gift of... No, huh? They're there, okay? And if you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, you have been given a spiritual gift for, not for your glory, but for the edification, the building up of the body of Christ. And I don't know what that is for you. I mean, I'm looking at a whole crowd of people here, okay? I can tell you that certain people walk up here, I can tell you what their spiritual gift is. Not because I'm kind of mind reader or something. I just know their life. I just know. I've just watched them for maybe several years. And it's obvious what their gift is. And so, if you don't know, how do you find out? Ask the Holy Spirit. And to get you to there, you say, what do I like to do? And that's usually going to get you awful close to what the spiritual gift is. You see? So what happens if for some reason somebody is not serving through that gift, or the group is so small maybe that that gift is not there? What do? We don't do what the people are gifted to do, are not gifted to do. All right? That'll save you a lot of problems. Program-driven churches, I guess, are okay. All right? But boy, there's a lot of guilt with that. We need somebody to be in charge of the potluck. I want you to bow your head now. Okay? And I want the person that's supposed to do the potlucks to just come under conviction and come down here and we're going to start potlucks. Nah. Do you know how, I'd tell you what, doing potlucks, what gift that is, okay? Hospitality probably, okay? You know how those people are found out? They come out and they say, Andy, John, Chuck, Dwayne, could we have potlucks? You want to have a potluck? Yeah, I really do. I think it would be good for the people to come together and share a meal and get to know each other. Who's going to do it? Well, I'll do it. That's the gift of hospitality right there. That's how it works. Now, if we'd have said to that person when they came forward and said, you know, we need to do potlucks. And you said, I think you ought to teach the four-year-olds. That's a need. That's been open for 2 years now. You're going to wreck that poor person's life. They haven't been given the gift of teaching. They've been given the gift of potlucking. Hospitality, okay? Can I tell you something, let you know a little secret? I won't pick on our new elders, but you don't want Andy Yon and I to be in charge of hospitality. Trust me on that, okay? I don't want to do hospitality. All right? Okay? You know you are serving in the gift that you have been given when it's just natural to do it. You want to do it. You have a passion for it. More on that later, maybe. Okay, not today, though. Okay. So in the local church, as foundation is laid by the apostles, in the local church, the authority is given, prescribed, to elders, deacons, and teachers. All right? Now, we're not talking about some monarchical rule over the masses. That's not what's going on here. I know some of those kind of people. That's not what's going on here. But authority here means serving and leading. That's the role of those who are elders and deacons. Deacons are just servants, okay? Just servants, yeah, okay? But this is no I'm in charge kind of deal. But what it is, it's offices, it's authority, under the authority of the Holy Spirit, to serve and to lead. If you bump into somebody that thinks they're the CEO or something like that, you might want to go somewhere else to a church. That's not what it's all about. There is no CEO of the church. Well, there is. His name is Jesus, okay? All right. Just to show you that I'm a humble person. We went from page 1 to page 3. Skip page 2. About Wednesday of this week, everything changed. Okay? Everything that I thought was kind of in place wasn't. So we started from scratch. Okay? And I was dreading page 2. Because page 2... I thought, you know, we're going to get lost here, all right? And I guess I should have been paying closer attention, not even did a page 2, but we just went from page 1 to page 3, okay? You know what page 2 is about, quickly, okay? Some more things that we know from that passage. One is that sin exists. Did you catch that? When Jesus gave the apostles the authority to forgive sin or withhold forgiveness, it is established, reinforced that there is something called sin. And you know, you think, huh? Yeah. In our day and time, that is not on the radar screen. Don't you judge me. You know, you hear that around anywhere today? Okay. Well, I'll do what I want to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. What they're saying is, there is no sin. What Jesus emphasizes, establishes, reinforces the fact that sin exists. And according to Jesus, the Son of God, the head of the church, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit establish sin, and men and women don't. This is not something we have a vote on. Sin is what he says is sin. 1 John 3 tells us that sin is lawlessness. Action that violates the righteousness of God, because the law basically depicts what God considers to be right and wrong. And so sin is a violation of God's righteousness. All disobedience is sin. And so with that, I'm being quick here, okay? We know that there is a need for sin to be forgiven. If there is sin, there is a need for forgiveness. And the apostles then were granted the authority to do that. But not all sin. This will keep you awake tonight, maybe. I hope not, okay? There are sins that cannot be forgiven. 1 John 5:16. John says, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that you should pray for that. That's all I'm going to say. You got to go do the work on it, okay? And then Jesus has already taught the fact that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is unforgivable. So not all sin is forgivable, and you can fit into those two categories. And again, I'm going to leave you with that. You can wrestle with that by yourself. As you do, if you have some questions, come to one of us and we'll try to help out. So at that point then, with this responsibility, where the rest of page 2 is, that we're, I'll give you the abridged version, okay, quickly, okay, there has to be authority. And where did authority come from? And there was a whole working through, meandering through. We know that God is a God of authority. That bothers our people today, our culture today. The sun rules over the moon. Read it in Genesis. Man is supreme over the animals. He had dominion over creation. Older was over the younger. The firstborn was over, got more of the inheritance, that kind of thing. There was a Jewish high priest. The law was an authority, telling the people what was right and not right. In the angelic host, there is authority. There are angels and archangels. So the whole point is, God is a God of authority. Now, he passed that authority down. Adam sinned, and I believe he lost dominion over, because when he was cast out, he and Eve were cast out of the garden, they had to go out, instead of the earth having dominion over it, now they had to go fight the earth to live. Said, you're going to be challenged. There's going to be thorns and thistles and you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. Before, that wasn't the case. They had dominion over it. Now they don't. We won't part fellowship over that one either, okay? And then there was a time of death reigned from Adam to Moses. And during that time, there was a time of covenant, where God established a covenant, I believe, with Noah at first. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God said, build an ark, and he did. And Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives were saved. All other flesh was lost. And then the covenant with Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. And eventually that covenant period leads to the giving of the law, all of which is God's in control. He's in charge. So that's page 2. What do you take away from today? What should you take away from today? First of all, God's still in authority. All right? He's still in authority. He now works through the indwelling Holy Spirit that lives in every person who has repented and believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is in residence in your life. He is a person. He wants to fill you. What that means is control, as we looked at last week. All right? You don't get Him parceled out, okay? He can be quenched by sin, we know that, but He's not leaving. He's not leaving. And the filling of the Holy Spirit comes as we confess that which quenches. Because you see, sin is mainly, I'm going to do, I want, this is, you know, who's that about? Us. So to confess that, I think you need to be really mechanical. We need to be really mechanical. When the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, which He said Jesus said He would, we bring that, according to 1 John, confess your sins, okay, and He's faithful and just to forgive. And then, Father, fill me with Your Spirit again. Let Him dominate my life. And Father, I want to rejoin that fellowship that I quenched because of the sin. Not relationship, but the fellowship. And when that's restored, giddy up, go. Okay? There must be a reason for that, but take that away this morning. Take away also your place in the church. God's representative authority in this world, in the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, for the glory of the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. What is your place in the body of Christ? And then, do it. Whatever that is. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful this morning that what You do in the hearts and lives of us on a Sunday morning is not dependent on the efforts of turning pages or putting stuff in order. And Lord, I don't know why, but You had a plan or a purpose, I'm sure. And so I pray, Father, that what Jesus was telling these apostles, we would understand what was going on here, but more, we would understand that the authority that He gave them has been passed down to us in this day through the body of Christ, the church. And through our proclamation of the gospel, people's sins are still forgiven. Or if they fail to believe, forgiveness is withheld. So Lord, I pray that You'll give us understanding today as we marvel at how You have worked and crafted everything together. All in preparation for that second resurrection that is coming. For those who will be caught up to meet You in the air, Lord Jesus, at the last trumpet. And Lord, I don't know, but I hear whoever's blowing that trumpet warm enough, it seems to me like these days. And then, Lord, to know of that eternity that's out there. For all those that You have forgiven their sins, and they've believed the gospel, they've believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. We love You, Lord.